Well, hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Danny Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right there, Dana. And you filling up something good this morning, or are you guys doing your Pellegrino kind of thing? You know what?
I didn't get up early enough to grab something, but I was trying to think about what I want maybe afterwards. Maybe I'll make a cappuccino. That sounds good.
Oh, okay. Fancy coffee time. All right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I have those instant packets. They're Starbucks. They're Pike's Place. So
one really?
You know, that's my favorite. Yeah.
Are the ones that they come in like a little tubey kind of looking thing?
Yes. Yes. Oh, uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. How are those?
I love them. And they're perfectly, you know, measured out for, you know, for one cup.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So like, you know, like eight, you know, regular.
Yeah. Regular ounce. Coffee cups worth of.
And I have a milk frother. So then, you know, I just add the packet to the hot water and then froth my milk. And then there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
A milk frother. Okay.
Yes. Yes, sir. A milk frother.
What a fancy kitchen you must have.
Oh, man. My poor mom, if I buy another appliance, I might have to come move in with you.
I got you. Or you're going to have to knock out the kitchen wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And build on
the
cabinets and add some counter space.
Well, I was telling her, I remember you telling me about maybe building a kitchen garage.
Yes, yes.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to sell her. I was trying to sell that idea to her early this week.
Okay.
You know, because of, you know, all the renovations we're doing here at home. So yeah, that's something that she was down. She was interested.
Yeah, I don't think you have to go super expensive either. I think there's got to be some relative easy solutions. Everything from like a roll down door, you know, kind of like you know, a big you'd see on a. Like a commercial business that they would roll down in front of their business as your garage door. I'm sure there's one that would just pull up and flip in and push back a little like the old style California garage doors that are one piece. Or the ones like a regular garage door that are like four or five slats that would roll up. So I'm sure you got your choices if you go to Home Depot or some design centers. And
check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I'm telling you, man, if I get one more.
One more appliance?
One
you'll
more.
Just be completely out of room.
Basically. It looks like an appliance store has thrown up on our kitchen counter. That's how bad it is.
Now, let me ask you. There's one of two lines of thought here. Are they all plugged into a gigantic power strip? Or you got one outlet wall spot and you constantly spend time plugging and unplugging?
Plugging and unplugging.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You know, there's two ways to go about it, I guess, if you think about it. You know, you're not going to run them all at the same time.
Right.
So you could go either way. You know, it's just a matter to you. Are you going to be the type of person constantly frustrated because they're going back and forth, unplugging? Why doesn't the toaster work? Oh, God, it's unplugged.
You got to plug it.
You know, oh, darn it. You know, why doesn't the, in your case, milk frother doesn't work? What's going on? Oh, because you can't have it plugged in at the same time as the actual coffee maker. So you got to quick unplug, you know.
And then, look, I don't have the nerve to just have regular appliances. I have, like, novelty stuff. So, like, I have, oh, my goodness. I got it, like, a couple of Christmases ago.
Yeah.
A Darth Vader toaster.
Fair enough.
I have, ooh, what else do I have?
Darth Vader
toaster. You know what? I'm starting to remember what I have, man. I have a waffle maker down there. Well, but it's down in the bottom cabinets.
Oh, okay. There wasn't even room on the counter.
There wasn't even room on top. And look, you know what? Now that I think about it, but mom might have gotten rid of it. Do you remember back in the day those George Foreman grills?
Yeah.
I think we might have one, but that might be in the bottom of the drawer.
Okay. Yeah.
If Miss Victoria didn't get rid of it.
I had one of, I had like the knockoff version. I had a coworker from my other college that I worked at before I got to LA gave me one. And she was doing some house cleaning, I think. And I used it till I kind of burned it out. You know, it was a knockoff. Okay. So it didn't take too long to burn that thing out to the end.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're right. That would have had to been stored down below because I have a lot of counter space, but I am of the mind of keeping it about as clear as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things.
That's how mom is. She likes it more streamlined. But I don't know. I have an obsession with mugs and cups and appliances, and it's out of control.
So you definitely, when I know you and Miss Victoria are looking to at some point move.
Oh, yeah. You may wanna make,
You'll certainly have to be the type that on the House Hunters show. Have you ever watched that show?
Oh, yeah, back in the day. Uh-huh.
So yeah. You'll definitely be of the like where they say what each person's looking for. Yours will be lots of counter space in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, sometimes there's some people there that are like, I guess I need a kitchen to put food in that I order takeout all the time. You know, so it doesn't matter whether there's an oven there or, you know, an outlet to plug in anything other than a refrigerator to hold like cold drinks.
Right. And it's so funny you bring that up because I know I mentioned, I believe, on Tuesday's show how we fixed the ceiling because of the flood we had. But I don't know. I think that flood, I'm trying to be optimistic here. I think it was a blessing in disguise because it's opened up the door for us to, you know, make some upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, like you mentioned, we do plan on, you know, selling later on this year. So along with the repaired ceiling, now the next phase is new flooring.
Yes.
Right. And then after the flooring, then mom and I, we talked about maybe some smaller projects, like maybe like upgrades to bathrooms, maybe a little bit of painting, you know, just to spruce the place up to, you know, increase the sell value. So
no, those are all great ideas. You know, I mean, especially, you know, if anything, bathrooms and kitchens, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you put your money, which is funny because I always use this story when I talk about stuff like this is I have one brother who back in Wisconsin has a house about 1900, you know, 1895 maybe. And unfortunately, everything he's put his money into is everything but the kitchen and bathrooms. So those all look like 1895 or maybe like some renovation back in the 50s and 60s.
That sounds like my dad's house in Arkansas.
Yeah. Otherwise, the house has fantastic siding and a brand new roof. And I might have needed a roof, so I'll forgive him that. But so he's kind of stuck in a house that still needs a bit of work. And then my other brother with the kids, they are just about to probably break down walls and finally get to renovating the kitchen and the first floor bathroom and redo all the wood floors on the first floor too. So he's going about it, but it did take him, I think he's been in the house 15 years now. So, you know, it took him a little bit of time. Him and the wife had to decide what they wanted to do, you know, and how they're going to address this. And the good thing is, as much as they're going to be tearing up over there, their wonderful neighbors, Pete and Larry, are going to, who are out of town, they go traveling for months at a time, are going to loan them their house so that them and the kids can stay over there.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
That is very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very, super nice guys. My only concern is that I hope they locked up the wine cellar. Otherwise, my brother and my sister-in-law there, you know, as all this work gets worse and worse, could be tapping that wine cellar.
So the sounds like they like to turn up.
Uh-huh. They do. Yes,
wine
they do.
Style.
Oh, they do. They love Californian, Napa Valley, all that good stuff.
Okay.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Must be nice. What's that called? Expendable income? I always forget the term.
Okay.
Well, now that we've already talked about some of the topics of just generalities that we have on screen. Did I tell you UCLA is in the Final Four?
Didn't I call it? I think I called it, didn't I?
I think you may have called it, yes.
I did.
USC unable to get in.
Oh, man.
They got pretty much walloped, unfortunately, by Gonzaga. And as much as one friend of mine, who is not a degenerate gambler, no matter who you ask, don't put money on that. He was like, oh, yeah, USC is really going to do it. Unfortunately, they were not unable to. So UCLA, though, is on a path. Who knows? The reality is they are 15-point underdogs. And someone else who I know knows sports well says they are given a 10% chance to win. And when he said that, I said, I think that's 5% too much. So we'll see what happens. That's this whole weekend thing. So UCLA is in. We've got Baylor, we've got Houston, and we've got Gonzaga. So it's an interesting tournament nonetheless. And then what else we have to talk about? How about this whole quick move from purple to red to orange? How are you feeling about that as we get more and more people out now?
Yeah, I don't know, you know.
Wow. You've been inside too long.
Say that again?
Sounds like you've been inside too long. You're afraid to see people
again. No, that's not the problem. I don't know. I don't want to get all conspiracy theory and all paranoid and all that. You know, I think it's, of course, it's awesome, you know, we have the vaccine and most of us are, you know, getting vaccinated. But I do have a problem with, are they really giving us the true numbers? Like, are we moving a little bit too fast here? Like, as far as where we're at, you know?
It's supposed to be, as far as I understand, pegged to like a 7-day average or whatever it is. Don't listen to me. I'm not a doctor, anybody.
I was going to say, like,
but it's pegged. Yeah. Let's put it this way. There are facts and figures that supposedly support what they're doing.
Because I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor who stands before the nation and tells us what to do, because I don't work for any of those CDC type organizations, and I don't know what's going on. And so if I tell you to wear a mask or don't wear a mask, you should be asking, why is Dennis telling me any of this? He's not a doctor, you know? So don't listen to me. No. I think it's because if you really look at it as badly as some people would say that the rollout of the vaccines have gone, I mean, it has really increased. You don't hear about, remember like the first week that you could get them at like Dodger Stadium. All the
places were impacted.
Like, and you'd see they would show the lines of cars, and then, you know, they're going to do it at Angel Stadium, and then they're going to do it at some other, all the big sites. And then it got to be like when they finally added education, which included people like me and you, you know, then there was some smaller sites. And I don't know how yours was, but I rolled up about 5 minutes before my appointment, parked a car, walked around the side of the building, got in line where there's only two other people in line, waited till I got sent in where there are 20 tables, and just shuffled on along. I was probably had my shot just right at the moment my appointment was for, again, for a second, number two. And so it wasn't, you know, people beating down a door or anything like that. And I know people, and you probably do too, who have gone to their, you know, their Rite Aids or CVS or Walgreens or whoever else are doing it and found a way to get it. So I think we have a lot of, I forgot how many doses have been already given in the country, let alone the state. I know there's a map somewhere. We're probably not at a super, super high area or concentrate, but we also have counties in, you know, California where they're probably at yellow or even whatever the next color is beyond that. Fuchsia, lavender. I don't know what color is the next color after orange or yellow, but you know, as long as it's going to where they're supposed to go, there, don't worry so much about the conspiracies. Dana,
no, it's let me retract that. Yes, so it's not, maybe the concern is that we have this solution, talking about the vaccine, but at the same time, let's still be careful, let's still listen to the science, let's still listen to the doctors, let's still be cautious, you know, because there's still people that are dying, that are being affected.
Absolutely.
You know, so I mean, I understand a lot of us, we want to get back out there do our thing, but at the same time, let's still be mindful of others that are still being affected, you know,
because, you know, don't, life, please,
life
everybody
is, you know, life is precious, you know, And I want to respect that.
Well, we're not telling you that you have to push your mother out the door and then have her lick door handles or whatever. I don't do that, you know. Carry your sanitizer to still everybody.
Oh, heck yeah. And a mask up. Oh,
that's right. But once we get to the 100%, once we get to like 100% vaccinated of those who will vaccinate and all, I think then at some point we're going to have to cut some of this back because some of this
that's another obtuse thing. I'm glad you brought that up too. Yeah. Like, because we don't, if you want to get vaccinated, because I have people in my circle that they're not down. They're like, nah, Dana, I don't trust it. I don't believe it. Yeah. I'm like, all right, bro, you know, that's you, you know. But like you mentioned, we don't even, like, I don't know other people's lifestyle. I don't know their choices. You know, that's another
true thing. But you know, we don't even need everybody. Again, we have other diseases out there that everyone has not been vaccinated for and stuff. And again, it's one of those things that you do get to a point that it just becomes a remainder, something that floats out there. But if it's floating out with the person who lives in the cottage in the far deep in part of the woods, and he happens to be in a community where most people have had it or got vaccinated, whatever it is, the spreading part doesn't happen, you know. You know, so in a good way, we've had two spring breaks come through. and if anything, literally everyone under the age of 24 or at some of our colleges a little older has probably been exposed to it if they've been down to Cabo or all those other places. Just,
kids are out of control, man.
Yes. Yes. Wow. And to think that I spent my only spring break that I went anywhere going to St. Louis where all the action is.
Oh, man. That's just how you listen, that's right. Listen to you. Just bug wild.
Yeah, I don't remember sandy beaches on the Mississippi. It was more muddy waters. Yeah, muddy waters. Mm-hmm. The good thing is there was a casino boat.
Okay. You know? Now, all my spring breaks, all throughout my time going to school, believe it or not, working and studying.
Okay. I got you.
I never like had like one of those like wild like spring breaker like turn up type of experiences.
Wow.
You know, but you know, it's all good. I don't think I missed out on anything. You know, I could just turn on the news.
I know people who went, and again, unfortunately, again, coming from Wisconsin for my undergrad, basically what it amounted to was a lot of my friends coming back super burned. You know,
because
it was like there would never have been enough suntan lotion in the world to keep some of us true to Northern Wisconsiners from just going from white to beet red.
Burned. Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, man. You know, some people came back with some tan. Some people, most of them, came back looking as red as can be.
Oh, my goodness.
Burned up tomatoes. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think that's you know what this is, Dana? This is a natural spot for us to throw a little musical interlude in and move our way on to the second part of the show.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing Cease for Show.
Yes, it's time for a little refill there. Mm-hmm. You know, after talking about our spring breaks. It works again, you know, spring break is now upon us again for our college.
Uh-huh.
And you know how those community college kids like to get on the bus and go down to Florida? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know where they go.
I don't know either.
I really don't. Because, you know, when you have and this is the thing with us California community colleges, we do have students 18 to 80. You know, we cover a wide range of students and lifestyles and working adults and single parents and traditional age students. But I don't know if spring break takes on the same kind of thing there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like you say, you know, I mean, some people do some, you know, outreach in giving back to their communities. Others just plug more hours in at work.
Mm-hmm.
Others, hopefully, although I'd have to see this to believe it, spend their time studying to get ahead in their classes. I'm sure that's a possibility.
It's, uh-huh. You know, it's real.
we probably have some student workers in our office that would be that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, what'd you do? Oh, I got caught up on my reading for my assignments. Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you know, if you like me, you ask for the extension to finish that that research paper, and then use the spring break time to do the research paper that was due before spring break.
You've actually asked for time on an assignment that used the time properly?
Nah, I made that up. I totally made that up.
There
is some student out there that has done that.
I hope so. You know, I mean, I read way too much on higher education, and unfortunately, many of the books are not giving us and painting us a rosy picture of where we are going when it comes to stuff like that, between study habits and the number of hours our students study, what they're studying as far as majors, and then the academic rigor part. And this I also get from, you know, talking to some of my professor friends at a variety of colleges, community colleges, and universities. It does sound like in some circles, and again, you can't take anecdotal data and turn that into what's the reality of things, but academic rigor does seem in some cases to be faltering us here. You know, students are not, they have set themselves expectations that because of the pandemic or otherwise, that they don't have to work as hard, or that we should all be lenient and give better grades. So I'm a little concerned on that front there. You know, I'd hate to think that students are losing out.
I can see that. And then also, I think a lot of it has to do with the paradigm shift, meaning, you know, that how young people learn today.
Sure.
You know, it's so different than even when I was, you know, a student. It's just so different, and the advancement of technology and, you know, how they comprehend. And like you're saying, like how even like retaining information, because, you know, they're so bombarded with information and with messages. So, you know, I think that probably has something to do with it too, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think, again, this is some of the stuff that's in some of the books that I've been reading, or the book reviews on books that I'll probably end up buying and reading at some point about higher ed. You know, it is a different way of taking in information, and also how you teach. And yes, we are in a paradigm shift kind of environment for higher education. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, and again, this is where I can't get a straight line on anything. Is it better? And is it more effective as far as all these things? I still don't know about the answer to that.
I agree with you too, Dennis, because I don't know. I can't remember where I heard this from. And then correct me if I'm wrong, because you have two nieces.
Okay.
But I heard that young children, they're not taught how to read time. What's the word I'm looking for?
You mean like on an analog clock?
Yes, analog. They're not taught how to do analog. Like there's like certain things, like I said, when I was going to school, when you were going to school, that they're not being taught. And I agree with you. I don't know if that's such a good thing, you know, to lose all the analog and then focus on.
No, I think there is. And also that idea that, well, we have these knowledge bases out there in the cloud, Google, search, and we've got Wikipedia.
That's the first thing you go to, right? Like you're having a conversation and you're like, I wonder ABC. And then you just Google it. Yes. Let me Google it.
Well, and it's funny when people ask those kind of questions. Now, it's one thing when, you know, if I'll sit at the cigar shop, and I haven't done this for a while, but you'll have someone who's usually an expert on sports in some way. And someone who's not quite an expert will go, when was the last time UCLA made it to a Final Four? Or what was their unbeaten streak from whatever number of years? And when they're asking that of the person who should know, you know, it's one thing. But, you know, they'll either know, or they're like, I'd have to look that up or whatever. It's funny when they ask it of people like me who have no obvious outward signs that I would know that. It's like, you don't have a smartphone? What's that in your hand? Why are you asking me? You know, I don't want to get snooty about it, but I think there are people that do treat it like that. It's like, why are you asking when you can look that stuff up, you know? And it's one thing when you want to spur on conversation, but it is another thing where some people think that now I'm their Ask Jeeves to get the answers on their phone.
Dennis, you showing your age, man.
Hey, that was a great website idea. Look what it turned into. Everything else. Not them.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. Not them.
I mean, I don't know if they... I think they went from Ask Jeeves to just ask.com. Look, but I could not tell you
if it
exists.
I'm going to Google it right now. I'm going
to Google Ask Jeeves. There's your answer right there instead of going to like Ask Jeeves. Where you'd have this English butler. Where again, the whole idea was that you could use regular whole language or whatever they call it and ask a question.
So it's just called Ask now. ASK.com.
That's what I thought.
What's your question?
Yeah. Okay, so it still does exist.
Yes.
That's good news. Okay, everybody, rest assured, it still exists. It is probably the 750th most popular search web browser.
Oh, man.
Searching.
Dennis, do you remember? I don't know why. Probably because we're talking about like old school, you know, platforms.
Yeah.
But do you remember movie phone back in the day?
You know, growing up in the Midwest, no, I don't. I know of it, and obviously I've seen it parodied or satired on The Simpsons or something like that. But yes, I know of the concept.
Yeah. See, like, you know, young people, they wouldn't know about that. No. They wouldn't know what to do with that service, right?
Why would you call up to get showtimes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Yes. It's look, I still have a brother who does some banking by phone, like paying credit cards and all. It's like, so you do it on the smartphone that you have in your hand that you could go to the app for? I don't quite understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then I was going to say, because now you have like services like, what is it, Fandango?
Yeah.
And then, like you said, the apps.
Yeah, I think the last time I went to a movie, I was using the Fandango to, you know, book the ticket ahead of time.
To purchase. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same here. And speaking of banking, real talk, I have not been inside a bank maybe in like 5 years.
Well, yeah, understandable.
I do everything at the you know, the ATM machine or on my app. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure you know, like you say, some I don't know. Like you said, maybe there needs to be like empirical like evidence.
We're not quite at that stage yet.
Right.
I would love to be the old man making the judgment here, as far as what's going on, but then it's just gonna sound mean.
Are we onto something though? Maybe do we have the, you know, the time to do these studies and
I don't know. Let's talk about that in the I Dare You To part. Where we're gonna go with this. And just like that, we're going to continue our discussion here in the third part, our last sip segment, everyone. So I don't know if I have an actual I Dare You To, other than I did have a book about demographics and the demand for higher education that I think I put out there as an I Dare You To one time. But I think there's some at least an initial reading on some of these topics, you know, and I think some of the books that I've read talk to how, again, the change in the work, if you really think about it, everything kind of melds together. The change in the work environment where, you know, I've talked about the books, you know, Digital Minimalism, Deep Work, the book that I have about a life, what a world without email, has very big similarities to regular life as far as, you know, work, you're inundated with emails all day. On top of that, you might have actual work to do. And then you've got meetings. And then now, of course, there's Zoom meetings and other things that are pulling away at your time. So have we lost the concept of being able to take time to do the things right, the deep dives, the research and all that? And I wonder, you know, in the academy, you know, in higher ed in particular, it's the same way. You know, we have students that are trying to study, but they have their own world of social media and regular life and again, trying to just stay up on pop culture, you know, which is what it is, pop culture. And have they lost all those skills and abilities to be able to properly manage this? And again, it's really sometimes making choices. you know, I made the choice to get off of social media about a year ago, you know, separate from the pandemic, because it was just kind of a waste of time. I mean, I only check Facebook like twice a week, mm-hmm. and I had a Twitter feed that I would check once a week, but still, it was just kind of a waste of time. I have one more thing in the back of my mind to do. So, for another day, I guess, Dana, we're going to have to, you know, hold that one over. I mean, we'll do some deep dive into that. And we'll see where we're going in the academy.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Dana, who could have guessed? But that's all we have time for today. But the good thing is we'll have episodes next week during our spring break. Don't worry, everyone. I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
Find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 78, recorded the morning of Friday, April 2nd, 2021.
Have a great day.
And have a great weekend, everybody.